Boom!
Would you like to be free to do as your heart desires without the boot of the state on your neck again? Welcome to episode 108 of the Be Yourself and Love It podcast with me, Anthony Samaroff, on the Conscious Resistance Network. I'm extraordinarily pleased to have Daniel Mentz here today. sacredhonor.ef.com, and don't spell it like a Scottish person or Canadian, H-O-N-O-U-R, but Sacred Honor, the American English way, second to get there, but arguably the best. I heard that in ye oldie times, they actually, one of the reasons why you see a lot of the words spelled in different ways is people wanted signs to mark their businesses and they charged by the letter, so you had less letters and things, and that way you had to pay the sign maker less money. That might be, you might have wanted a sign to let people know about your PMA, your private members association. So I've got some knowledge, some things that I've picked up here and there about private members association, and I'm going to talk about some contexts that people may have heard of it before. But Daniel Mentz, whom I met at the Greater Reset in Morelia 2024. I don't even know that year. This is like miles in the future. We have come back from the future.
Yes, we have.
So yeah, we had a little chat, and he's an expert on this issue, and as I told you guys, I wanted to introduce you to some of my new friends that I met in the Greater Reset and Morelia and the Conscious Resistance Network too, of course. So Daniel, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. Tell people a little bit about yourselves before we break into today's topic and how you got into this stuff.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Germany in a small town called Reudermark Urberach. I don't expect anyone to remember that. But I always wanted to go to the United States of America. Always had that kind of calling. And long story short, I basically wanted to be an actor in Hollywood, you know. And so I did what I could to get accepted into an acting school. And so another long story short, I moved here in 2009. I did that for a couple of years, the acting world. And then I met my wife just actually 1 year after I arrived here. And together we started writing and directing. So another long story short, we co-wrote and co-directed a feature film called Slip Away, in one word, slipawaymovie.com, if you want to check it out. And that went on to garner 25 awards and 23 nominations worldwide across the festival circuits. And we thought, oh my goodness, audience love us, the festivals love us, Hollywood's just going to throw money at us now, right? But then the reality was a little different. So when it was time for us to find distribution for the film, then Hollywood's real intention became very clear. We didn't have any stars. We don't have violence. We don't have drugs. We don't have sex. We don't have blood. It's a really beautiful, organic, from the heart, for the heart kind of movie that you don't see anymore these days. So they weren't interested, and so we ultimately ended up distributing the film ourselves. And so through that experience, I got a glimpse behind the curtain of what Hollywood really is and what it really stands for. And so I thought, wow, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I want to do. I don't want to put my energy into that kind of system. And so I left. I left the industry. And then I sort of became more of an entrepreneur. Website design, e-commerce, things of that nature. And then when 2020 came around, I got my big wake-up call, kick in the pants, as many of us did. Although I had watched my first David Icke presentation the year before that, so 2019 sort of was because of the first opening, I guess. And then in 2020, I was like, oh my God, this stuff is real. This is really happening now, isn't it? So anyway, thanks to that, though, I founded my first Freedom Cell in 2021. And through that, I met wonderful, wonderful circle of friends. And together, we really achieved a lot of beautiful things right in the smack middle of one of, you know, the most tyrannical CV19 cities in the world. And so through that, then obviously I had the question I had basically during 2020 and 21 was, how can they do this in the United States of America, where we have a very clear Bill of Rights, right, that supposedly protects us and protects the people? And so that's the question I just kept asking myself, like, how is this possible? How can they do this and get away with it? You know, ask and ye shall receive. And I got the answer. So through my freedom cell, we found a local guy who was teaching status correction. Now, I just want to make a disclaimer here, okay? I'm not talking about the state nationals. I'm not talking about the American nationals. And I'm not talking about sovereign citizen stuff. And there's even the latest version is the American state national. So I'm not talking about any of those things, okay? I want to just be very clear, because there's only one proper way to do it. And we also teach that one in the Sacred Honor Educational Fellowship. So I came into that knowledge, and that was, as I like to say, the biggest red pill I ever had to swallow. Because, you know, I got the answer. We're essentially living in a modern version of the feudal system. That's what we're dealing with. It's a modern technological corporate version of the ancient feudal system. And once you look at everything from that lens, from that perspective, everything starts to make sense. And, you know, we can dig a little bit deeper into that. But that's basically how I got into it. And that really was my big awakening. But on top of that, obviously, was the remedy or the solution, because I'm all about solutions. My Telegram channel is called Solutions Only, Please. As you know, as John Bush and Derek, they all hammer on that and focus on the solution first. And I really took that to heart. So, and then I started looking into solutions. Okay, so what can we actually do about this, right? So when you realize, okay, we're living in a mostly voluntary, in the Western world, is voluntary feudalism through through commerce and contracts. So there has to be a remedy for us to volunteer out.
Because if we're looking,
to opt out, exactly, yeah. Because if everything's everything's governed by commerce and contracts, contracts can be very easily be rescinded, as it's called. Okay, you can get out of a contract relatively easily. So there had to be a way for us to take back our God-given rights, to take back our, you know, our ways of doing business or trade or practice our craft in a non-commercial way that still sustains us in the private. So and that's how I met, you know, my mentors in this world now. So all of those you can find at sacredhonoref.com, Michael Joseph, Marsha Ann. These are all like really longstanding heavyweights in this movement. Marsha Ann, she woke up in the 70s, maybe even earlier than that, you know, and she was kind of one of the first pioneers in this area of how we can use trusts and ministerial bodies and, of course, PMAs as well to remove ourselves from this feudal system, from this matrix, and still be able to live well and prosper, but not have friction with the public matrix system and constantly be fighting with it, you know?
Yes, because you can go and form a commune or something like that, but that doesn't mean that what happened at Waco won't happen to you if you do that. You know, they've got tanks, they've got guns, they've got bombs. So if you try and opt out of the system, but you also sort of make a big statement alerting the public and become oppositional, they've got reasons to want to come after and maybe even dispose of you.
Right.
So I'll tell you a little bit about the associations I have with private members associations, PMAs, and we can maybe use that as a jumping off point to look at it a little bit deeper. The UK started with smoking bans long before the US did, I think. I don't know, maybe there are some places in the US you can smoke inside a bar, but
I don't know.
I'm not sure about that. Scotland introduced the smoke where I'm from, if anyone hadn't guessed by the accent, in 2006 became the first nation in the UK to ban smoking in public places like restaurants and bars. And, you know, there was a little bit of, but most people thought this was a good idea because public health and whatnot. And the smoking area is always a great way to hit on, a great place to hit on women. So eventually people migrated onto the street. Now even that's being banned. But one thing that was floated out was, and in, let's say, not in a way that it sounded like the public supported, was, oh, there might be private members groups where people can turn their bar or their place into a private members group and they'll be allowed to smoke inside. And it was thought to be, oh, this is just rich people finding loopholes to get through. You know, that's how it was tipped to be. Oh yeah, the rich people are allowed to be in their own little alcove smoking indoors where the plebs are not going to be allowed to smoke cigars inside. This is just going to be some loophole for rich people. So that's one of the associations. Have you heard of this, or can you comment on this, or does this tie into the idea?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, private member association is nothing new. Right. You know, when we go back through some of the historical evidence, I mean, there were private memberships in the early 1900s, and even before mm-hmm. then, okay? Before mm-hmm. there were the corporate structures, LLC and S-Corps and all these, you know, corporations that you can get from the state, people just had, they didn't need business licenses. They didn't need to ask permission to practice their trade, you know, wherever they were living. So, but yeah, you hit on a very good point, is that the rich people and their private clubs, that's what they're doing, guys. You know, that's exactly what they're doing. Those are all PMAs, you know, these rich right. billionaire clubs, those are all PMAs. So we're not doing anything other than what they're doing. Okay. Right. So we're just teaching the people that, hey, look, whatever they're doing, you can do as well. And here's why, because they set the system up so that, you know, the unfortunately, the mostly dumb masses, they don't realize what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all these loopholes, they're not loopholes. They're actually your God-given right to be and to exist mm-hmm. and to mm-hmm. assimilate with other like-minded people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And decide what terms you associate with others in. So the other association I've got, which is extremely important for me, because as most of my audience knows, I've been writing about the pharmaceutical industry for a couple of years. And of course, if you try to do anything that help, I've got an associate who was told by the Maryland Medical Board to stop fasting people, to stop guiding people through fasts, because he was practicing medicine without a license. Now, he wrote back to the Maryland Medical Board and said, according to your own definition, practicing medicine is prescribing, diagnosing, or basically treating with surgery or pharmaceuticals. Mm. Anyway, what he was doing did not meet that definition. He said, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing any of those things, right? So I can't possibly be practicing medicine without a license. They wrote him back saying, well, people are coming to see you and they're getting better. Therefore, you're practicing medicine without a license. He said, I had this moment of clarity afterwards where I realized what I should have said is, well, if people are coming to me and getting better, then I'm definitely not practicing medicine. No. So this is an example of the kind of trouble that people get into if they try and treat people in any natural way. The local governments come at them and start seeing they're practicing medicine without a license. Hence, we've been told you need to get a private members association. Then your patients, clients, whatever you want to call them, they're not that anymore. They just join your association, and then you're allowed to educate them, and then you can tell them about remedies and stuff, and no one can charge you for practicing medicine without a license. Is that true?
That is true, yes. So, and that's basically goes back to the simple nature of contracts. And this is also enumerated in the Constitution. Now, we've had several, you know, versions of the Constitution, if we want to go down that rabbit hole, but it's still in there. And basically it means, and it says that the state cannot impede upon the obligations of a contract. So when you, let's say you and I have a contract with each other, right, to do something specific, the state cannot come in here and meddle with our contract. Okay, so that's the nutshell version of it. So when we set up a private membership association, or it's really an unincorporated association. Okay, so PMA has been kind of a buzzword, but it's not really a legal term. It's not really defined by anything. That's just what people have started calling it. Really, what we're dealing with, and if folks at home want to do some research, don't research PMAs. Research unincorporated associations, because that's really what it is. So anyway, when we set up an unincorporated association, then we're essentially creating our own little bubble of our own private jurisdiction. And no one outside of that bubble can interfere with it. So if people want to learn from our craft, our trade, whatever we're doing, they have to sign a private contract with us, with the association. And then and only then can they be let into the bubble of private jurisdiction. Okay. Kind of like the saying, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Right.
What happens in your association stays there. Because when part of these contracts, also these private member agreements, is that you agree to leave the public system.
Right.
You agree to leave your public, you know, corporate citizen status, if you will, and you agree to come into a private jurisdiction amongst equal standing men and women. Okay. So, and also part of those agreements is that, you know, you're not an agent of the state, you're not coming in here to investigate, blah, blah, blah. So in these agreements are certain lawful, shall we say, hooks that, let's say, you know, some kind of agent from the state were to try to infiltrate the PMA. Well, they're going to have to sign their name by hand to come in and practice, you know, in the private with us. So when we put certain language in there that basically says you're going to strip all the titles that you have from the public system and you come in here as a biological, natural man or woman, okay? So that leaves the agency at the state at the door. Okay, so we're stripping them of all titles, and you are just a natural man or woman coming into the private with us. And then and only then do we share information or share our, you know, tinctures or whatever the case may be.
Right. So this allows us to organize our own regulations and say planks that people who are a member of the PMA are going to agree to adhere to. We can decide the consequences of those things. But naturally, there must be some limits to all of this. So let me think. So on one hand, yeah, I mean, you can't just invite someone to a private members organization, association, and then presumably you can't then assault them, or maybe if it's a boxing match you can assault them. So on that side, what are the limits? What are the limits to what people can consent to in terms of being punished? Like, you know, if you agree under this that people can strip your assets, that's okay. But I'm guessing that they won't let you off someone. I don't know. You're going to tell us. And then on the other end, yeah, you know, or do certain things like in the what you call the public system, you know, if the courts decide that someone isn't capable of agreeing to a contract, can they, you know, in some circumstances they say, well, they're not fit to sign in, do they have jurisdiction to come and say that you included someone in this organization who isn't of sound mind to enter into that contract?
I mean, not to my awareness. If you can read language, if you can read, you know, sentences, and you can use a pen to sign your name, then you are fit to enter a contract.
Okay.
Because the public system is doing that all day long. mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and they right. assume us to be unfit. They actually assume us to be wards of the state. We, you know, we're talking about the birth certificate and all that, but let's not get into that. But really, all we're doing is we're creating a mini nation, if you mm-hmm. want to take it that route, because all nations, all governments, they're PMAs.
Right.
They're PMAs. And the citizens
are... That's the big secret.
Yeah,
that's the big secret about this PMA stuff, which you're trying to tell people. This isn't something weird or irregular. This is actually noted under the law, or the law is noted under this, right?
Yeah, yeah. So all these public laws, right, mm-hmm. the legal system, that's all part of a humongous PMA that's called United States of America or Scotland or UK.
Okay.
So, and if you are a citizen, then you are a member and you agree to the terms and conditions of that membership agreement.
Mm. But who enforces this?
You mean who enforces the private member agreements?
Let's start with the public member agreements, and then after that the private member agreements.
So public agreements meaning what exactly? So you can have, you know, a public company that's a membership, like a gym, for example.
When you're saying that a company incorporates, let's say, in the UK, they get limited status or they become a PLC. What that means is if the company goes bankrupt, the people don't have no claim on the shareholders. You're saying that this incorporation is a similar arrangement to what you're teaching individuals to do.
Well, not necessarily.
Okay, let's hear it.
So there's a big difference between the public system again and the private system. Okay.
Okay.
So the public system is all about benefits and privileges and immunities. Okay. Notice I didn't say rights.
Okay? Right.
Privileges, immunities, and licenses and permits and all that stuff. So you constantly have to ask for permission to get something in return.
That's right.
And so when you set up a corporation through the public system, then the public system is going to tell you, okay, you can do this and this and this, but you can't do that and that and that and that, and that with your company.
I see.
All right.
I see.
And if you do those things, well, then we're going to shut down your company and we're going to take your assets and, you know, maybe even throw your ass in jail.
Okay.
So when we set up a private membership association or an unincorporated association, obviously mm-hmm. we don't have those attachments to the state. We didn't use any of their benefits of, you know, incorporating a corporation. We're actually giving life to we, the people coming together. That's what the body of incorporation is. We are mm-hmm. the corpus. We are actually the bodies, okay?
Okay.
And because we are deciding, natural men and women coming together, we are deciding to come together, we're putting that on paper.
Mm.
Just so that for anyone who else wants to come in, sees what the founders, so to speak, have intended.
Okay.
You know, similar to the Constitution. The Constitution is basically a PMA agreement.
Right.
You know, that's obviously has been inverted, but that was the original intent. So because we know and we realize that we are creations of creation itself, you know, creator, God, source, whatever label you prefer, but we are an innate part of all of creation, and therefore we receive our rights from creation, mm-hmm. not from a government, mm-hmm. not from a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
We, as you know, the God-given, God-created beings that we are, we come together and recognizing, okay, I see you. You are the same as me. We are creations of nature. And therefore, we like to exercise our natural rights in a like-minded group fashion. Okay, so we come together and we protect each other and those natural rights in a private bubble of jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So that's really the main switch people have to make in their minds. The form doesn't matter. The paper doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
The form is just an outpouring of what you are, who mm-hmm. you are, mm-hmm. and where you mm-hmm. come from. Okay. It's the substance. It's your soul. It's your spirit. It's your, you know, your energy, your life force energy. that is what animates the public system and also the private system, okay? Because we are the currency. Mm-hmm. We are the currency, literally are the currency for this, you know, satanic system that's all around us. Without us, without us animating it, without us giving it its our life energy, it would collapse. And, you know, I think because more and more people are leaving the matrix, leaving the Babylonian matrix, as we often say, we're starting to see it crumble now because we're taking, we're unplugging people from the matrix. We're taking mm-hmm. away energy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that's the only currency that exists in the universe. It's energy. So, yeah, that was a kind of a tangent, but I hope this makes sense.
Yes. So, for example, your state may have a law against braiding hair without a license. And you want to go, oh, nonsense. I've been braiding hair since I was four. I don't need the permission of the state to allow me to braid hair. Then you're going to still need to buy a premises to work out of, or maybe work out of your home. Do you now need to make all of your customers a member of your private members society in order to stop the feds coming after you and stopping you from braiding their hair?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do it simply that way. Okay. So what happens then when the feds come after you and start to say, come around and start to say, and you say, well, I've got a private members association here. So I can braid hair here. And they say, well, according to the laws of the state, you're not allowed to. So you're going to have to either get a license or stop. Because I'm sure this is what most people wonder. Like you and I, we understand that this is just and that this is how society should be formed on a voluntary basis. I didn't agree to need to braid hair without a license. But the feds maybe don't know that. So people always wonder, how are you going to stop people? Let's just walk it through. But I think eventually, how are you going to stop them from using force against you?
Well, and it has happened. So we have a couple actually who moved from California to Tennessee to open a private eatery. Notice it doesn't say restaurant. Okay, so we also have to be very cognizant of the words, because restaurant is public and eatery is private. So, you know, so they did that. And, you know, there were a few mistakes they made along the way and they were learning as they were growing. But so eventually it was really more the pressure from the, well, uneducated people in the town. They didn't know what they were doing. They were afraid, like, who are these? They don't have a license, blah, blah, blah. So they were really, you know, it was really the uneducated people that were ultimately the cause of all the trouble they were getting in. But so in a nutshell version, so yes, the health department came and the sheriff showed up a few times. But ultimately, so there were some scary situations, I'm not going to lie. But ultimately, they couldn't do anything. What they always tried to do is, you know, the health department said, look, if you just sign here, we'll give you the license and you're going to make so much more money. Okay. The sheriff came, look, if you just sign here, then we're going to go away. We're not going to bother you anymore. Okay. Just come into the public, you know, stop messing around, guys. So they were actually using language that if you sign this contract with our public agency, you're going to be more successful. You're going to make more money, right? Because now you can advertise to the public.
Yeah.
So, but it ultimately all came down, all the threats and coercion and there wasn't any violence, but, you know, there were threats of violence, came down to sign here or else.
Right.
So it's all, you see, like this contraction always comes down to a contract because that's how they ensnared us.
That's how they ensnared us.
It's all about contracts. So ultimately, you know, they were left alone, and they were also there was also a court case. So they even went to court, but because we coached them on what to do and how to say and, you know, what kind of things to file, the court also left them alone after a while. So we actually successfully removed all the state's like infringements, but ultimately the pressure from the locals was so intense that they decided, you know what, this is just, it doesn't make any sense. So yeah, it was kind of like, you know, the pitchfork kind of mentality.
So, but the pitchfork is sometimes the bottom line, because Yeah, so what you're saying is the states generally try to get people to sign a piece of paper because then, as soon as someone does that, they've agreed to be under some form of jurisdiction or another,
Correct.
other than their own. And the whole point of this is not to consent to enter into someone else's jurisdiction. And when you go to court, if you know what you're doing, their own system does not allow them to act upon you without consent,
That's right.
but
Without contract.
without contract. So a little bit earlier, but I mean, it's worth circling back to the question of what are the limits to this, because if you commit an assault or fraud, maybe I'm thinking theft or anything like that. I'm guessing you fall into a different kind of law.
That's a very good question. And so far, the people that have come to us, that's why I said this very important piece. It's your substance that matters, okay? It's your heart, it's your spirit, it's your soul that matters. Everything else is secondary. So this is, first of all, not for the faint of heart if you want to walk this path, because the matrix will challenge you and it will test you. Now, ultimately, you're going to come out victorious, but it might be a bumpy road. So, because we're kind of the tip of the spear right now, right? As David Icke says, the tip of the spear is always lonely. Now, luckily, that spear is broadening now, but we're still pretty much at the beginning. So, but if something, so there's also terms and conditions in the agreement that you can set up. What happens if there's an argument? What happens if there's fraud? What happens if one member injures the other? And depending on what you're doing in your PMA, you can adjust it according to your needs. And you can adjust it even down the line. Okay, you're just going to have to let your members know that you have now an updated membership agreement. You may have to have all the members sign it again to agree to, new stipulations or whatever. So it's all up to you. Like, how are you going to enforce this? Okay, and there are some private mediator firms that can help private membership associations deal with their internal friction, and we can refer you to those resources too if you want that. So that's a way to stay out of the public legal system, but still navigate any issues that you might come across in your PMA, in your association. So, accidents can happen. I know, you can still get insurance if you want. Okay, so if you need to have some kind of liability insurance, if someone slips and falls in your private eatery, well, how are you going to reimburse them? Okay, how are you going to pay for the medical bills? So there's also bonds you can apply to. Okay, you can set up a bond for your PMA, for example. Now that's obviously more expensive than insurance, and not all insurances will honor a PMA. So there's going to have to be some, you're going to have to do some digging and some research, and we can assist with that as well. But ultimately, there's always a remedy. Okay, keep that in mind. There's always a remedy. Every time they injure our rights, they have to give us a remedy because ultimately everything's governed by natural law. And these freaks that want to control the whole world, they know natural law better than anyone. So they know that whenever they take away our God-given rights, they have to give us a remedy. And they hide those remedies very well. But once we find them and once we claim them, they have to honor it. And we've seen that over and over and over again.
Interesting. When you say they have to honor it sounds like you don't mean under the rules of their own system. You mean something existential, like they
Right.
will, right? They're
Yeah.
like there's a force field that they can't get through. But it seems like when we look at history, there's been lots of atrocities and people just basically resorting to the pitchfork in the end and things like that. Is this because people didn't know their rights?
We've also been lied about history a lot. So, I would question much of what we have been taught about history, first of all. But yes, there have been a lot of atrocities committed, for sure. And unfortunately, those atrocities are never committed by the 1%. Mm. They're committed by the order followers.
Right, the order followers.
Yeah.
Right.
The brainwashed. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's unfortunately always been the case. However, and this is why I think they're freaking out now, more and more people are waking up to that. And more and more people are seeing that, oh my God, what is this? Like, what am I in here? Like, this, nothing what I've been told about this world is true. And, you know, we're seeing people leaving their corporate jobs. We're seeing massive exodus from the cities. So that's a good sign. Okay. You know, we still have a lot more work to do, but yeah.
It's very, very interesting. So one of the things you said earlier that perked up my ears and therefore maybe perked up some other people's ears too is, oh, if you sign here, you know, you'll be able to advertise to the public. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Advertising to the public, because a lot of people might want to step out, you know, might want to avoid some regulations themselves. I might want to get some 17-year-olds to work for this business and not pay them the minimum wage, but give the communists will come and bash down my door. But it's like, okay, I'm going to give you an internship here. I can't actually afford to pay you the minimum wage, but you're going to learn enough skills here to go and get a better job somewhere that will pay you better. In the meantime, you're costing me money. So I'm going to create my public members association. Private members association, make you a member and you can work here. However, I need customers as well. How am I going to achieve that without advertising to the public? And what's to stop me from advertising to the public?
Very good question. And so that was one of the mistakes that our couple in Tennessee made. They advertised on Facebook. So they had a Facebook page and they were advertising there and they were showing the food. So that's a mistake. Okay. As a private organization, as a private association, you cannot advertise to the public. Let me say that with a caveat. So what you can do is invite people into your private membership. Mm-hmm. So you can do like invitations. Okay. For example, if we're staying with the example of the eatery, you can say something to the effect of, you know, join our association. We create art to feed your temple. Mm-hmm. Right? So mm-hmm. you don't use food. You don't use restaurant. You have to be a bit more creative so that all you're doing to the public is you're inviting them in to join your club, to join your association. And you don't tell them exactly, you know, what's on the menu, the ingredients, maybe you can say, you know, during what time you can show up, but it's all structured as an invitation. Mm-hmm. Okay, so feed the curiosity of the public, but tell them, hey, if you want to check us out, you're going to have to sign our private membership agreement. And so, actually, what they did with the eatery, they had a simplified version of the club laws as a stand, so that when people move in or come in. The restaurant owner would say, would you please read this? And then they read it. And then, do you agree to these terms? And then they say, yes. Okay, come on in. Okay. And then they pull up the curtain so that you couldn't see inside the eatery. So there was a little entrance that was like cordoned off and you had to agree to the terms and conditions. And then if you say yes, then you're invited into the club and then you can eat there.
Well, it's certainly going to make it difficult for some people to do business. So obviously, if you're going to go down this road, you must be very, very committed to it. And how do you know what words you're allowed to use and which you aren't? And how does the public, let's say, get jurisdiction, attain jurisdiction over the use of those words in the first place?
Yeah, well, that's a long history of what we call treachery and deception by words.
Right.
And lawyers, you know, the legalese of lawyers is really where it all came from. They literally make up words and then codify those words and then indoctrinate a whole system of society to use those words because they created the word and they control it. Okay, so that's how it works. But then we go back to, you know, pre-modern government language, mm-hmm. like Old English, for example, and then we can draw out some words that are not codified, that are more natural sounding. Okay, that they sound old, but why are they old? Okay, they had to make them old. They had to make the people forget those other words, because the lawyers came up with new words that they could codify. Another thing I want to mention, another mistake that they realized in the eatery was that they didn't really engage the community. They just came into a small town, opened the eatery. You know, they had the PMA and everything already set up, and they were just going for it. Okay, so a very, very important piece of this puzzle is engage with your community. Okay, go to those local meetings, go to the local church, get to know the people. Okay, get familiar with them, make friends in the town first before you make a splash with, oh, I have a, you know, private business, and you know, why is it all curtained up? Why can't I see inside? Why don't you have licenses? So make your make the strategy of creating your PMA in a city or in a town part of your community engagement. Okay, Derek often talks about community events, get people interested, get people to come, make it fun. Okay, mm-hmm. get them educated on what voluntarism is. Mm-hmm. And so make it part of not just, I'm just going to go into the private and then hopefully people will come. Make it more of a all-inclusive community engagement. And then naturally, when you're just talking to town folks, you know, they will ask you, so what do you do? Oh, you know, my husband and I were planning to open a private eatery in the town. And then, oh, what is that? What is that? And then you can start educating them, you know. For example, you know, a good example is always the driver's license, right? Here in the U.S., the driver's license name is written in all caps. So that's something fun you can do with anyone maybe not as aware. You can say, well, pull out your driver's license. You know, how is your name spelled? It's spelled in all caps. And you can say, well, don't you think that in the year 2024, governments can't print your name in upper and lower case like you were taught in third grade? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Okay, so that gets the mind thinking. And then you can slip in something more. Well, actually, you know, that's not really you. That's a government version of you. Mm-hmm. And you're pretending to be that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, depending on your knowledge and history, you can go a little deeper than that. But that's just to get the mind going, okay? And that's how to engage people in the community to be more open and receptive to your PMA eatery that's going to be opened in a few months, okay?
Mm-hmm. So what kind of business or group is this model, Private Members Association, particularly apt for? I mean, clearly, one is something like what I mentioned before, offering information for people on how to improve their health. What other kind of professions might benefit, especially from this kind of organization?
That's a good question. I mean, we've seen all kinds of things. You know, farms, a lot of farms are doing it. So food, okay. We've talked about the eatery. Now, anything that's more reliant on the public coming into your business, obviously is a bit more challenging, like an eatery,
challenging.
Or hair braiding, okay, or a barber shop, something like that. Mm-hmm. Anything where you need licenses, like being a plumber, that's going to be more challenging, okay, because anyone who calls you, like, where's your license? Where's your bond? Okay, so you're going to have to pick your battles. But anything, obviously, that... like online business, for example, are relatively easy because you can simply put your membership agreement online on your website. Some of our members have even put up, you know, a pop-up that you can't even see the website until you agree to enter the contract, the private agreement, and then you see the website. So that's, you know, online businesses, that's the easiest way for PMAs. Anything that is like a brick and mortar, then you have a lot more vectors of complexity, but it all can be achieved in one way or another. You just have to be willing to step into that, into those rough waters, so to speak.
Right. Okay. So you said it's particularly good for farms. So let's just make it clear why it would be advantageous for someone who's got a farm to do this.
Well, for example, all the regulations in regarding to what's organic and what's not, you know.
Right.
So the state doesn't like permaculture.
Mm-hmm.
The state wants you to buy the heavy chemical fertilizers, right? Uh-huh. So right. when you are a truly organic permaculture farmer, for example, you know what you're doing is right. You know you're restoring mm-hmm. the earth. You know you're restoring right. and growing the soil, healing the soil. So that's one way to protect yourself, okay? Because at some point, especially if you sell those vegetables and fruits at the local farmer's market, for example, well, you're going to get a knock at the door at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? And so that's a way to protect yourself.
And would you only be able to, say you do go to a farmer's market, would you only be able to sell your produce to someone who agreed to contract with you? And would they have to sign a contract? Or could you sell yeah. it to anyone who showed up?
Well, that would be, again, so a farmer's market is usually public.
Okay.
Okay. So that does come with its challenges. So you, mm-hmm. if you want to go that route, there's different ways you could do it too. You could simply host farmers markets on your own land.
Mm.
Invite other farmers to sell their products on your land. That's right. a good idea, right? So now you have a private farmers market.
Right.
But if you want to go to a public state-regulated farmers market, then you could also do, similar to our friends in Tennessee, you could have a sign, okay, if you want to buy our produce, you have to agree to these and these and these and these. Do not enter our tent if you do not agree to these conditions.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one way, okay? And even before, like, if someone goes to checkout, you could simply say, do you agree to our terms and conditions up front? And if they say, oh, I didn't even see that, you could say, please go and read them, and then you come back to checkout. Okay, so you need to get a verbal consent if people don't sign it by hand, your agreement. So you need to get verbal agreement.
Okay, very good. So, interesting. I was thinking about the beginnings of these organizations, like, for example, Patreon or Locals, more recent, where people who have shows who can bring their audience in to pay for membership and to get extra shows and things like that is the beginning of building the infrastructure for something like that for a private members association, right? Right now, this show doesn't have Patreon. I do have a Locals, but by the way, people at home, you can join my Locals if you want, but I've not done anything with it yet. It would be nice to at one stage, but I see that as maybe that's like a precursor, because we're already building the online infrastructure to create, these are basically private members groups, but they're not legally private members associations the way that you describe it. But maybe this is the beginning to bring that idea into people's consciousness, because there's so much competition for eyeballs. For a lot of people, the best thing they could possibly do is get, you know, 100 fans that are willing to give them $10 a month, or 200 fans that are willing to give them $6 a month, or something that averages out that way, and that would pay for content creation. So more people are moving towards that model.
Yep.
You know, Substack or whatever. I maybe have 6 people who pay me a fiver a month mm-hmm. on Substack. Do you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's like, can you speak to that and what you see is the future? Do you see future or this becoming more easy with the advent of technology and public? General awareness rather than public awareness.
Yes. So. It definitely is moving in that direction. Now, as you said, you know, those companies, Substack and Patreon, Locals, they're all like LLCs, and you know, they're state created corporations, and they're dealing still in fiat paper money, in the fiat currency. So
right.
that alone comes with a huge amount of regulations that you're going to have to abide by. All right.
Mm.
Now, but the model, we could take the model, the idea, the intention, and create an alternative that only deals in Bitcoin or Monero
right.
or both.
Right.
Okay. So now we have a Patreon that only deals in Bitcoin. And those software packages already are up there. Like, for example,
right.
BTC Pay, right? That's a open source, self-hosted payment of point of sale for Bitcoin. Okay.
Right.
So you could have that, for example, in your PMA as well.
And maybe, yeah, maybe someone's, well, with the with knowledge of the importance of PMAs, and that's in our movement, will begin to create something like that, a Patreon that only uses Bitcoin, for the precise reason of saying when you join their own equivalent of locals, you're effectively in a PMA. So that that's how I see it going if enough people get this information that you're trying to spread. So your organization, Sacred Honor EF.com, exists specifically to advise people who want to do this sort of thing, to take something out of the public into the private.
Yes, so EF stands for Educational Fellowship. Now, I want to say that we don't give legal advice, we don't give financial advice, we don't give medical advice. This is all for informational and entertainment purposes only.
This is only, exactly.
And in order to even see what we're offering, you have to become a private member.
Ah, perfect. Of course
it doesn't cost you anything to join, but you do have to agree to our private member agreement. And so then you can browse all the things that we practice, that we offer to our membership as benefits. So, but yes, if you're interested in PMA structures or unincorporated associations, then we have all that information for you. Now, one thing I'd like to say also, and this is unfortunately with the popularity of PMAs, we see this more and more, is that because a lot more people are aware of this now, a lot more people are looking for this information, there are some gurus or teachers out there that are simply what we call paper slingers. Okay, so they create some kind of template and you pay them a couple hundred bucks, maybe a couple thousand bucks, and they sling out these papers to you. And then that's all you have, and there's no support, and there's no guidance, and you think, okay, I just put my names in here, and you fill out the template, and then you think you're good to go. And then, next thing you know, you get your assets seized, and things start to happen very negatively. So that's not who we are. So we're very much hands-on, we're very much on the education side, because this has to become your information.
Right.
We learned this for decades of study, but it has to become the consciousness of the people who are actually practicing this.
Exactly.
So, and you verify the information for yourself, because this is also a big difference from many of the other people out there. Everything that we bring forward to our membership, everything that we teach, you can 100% verify for yourself. You don't have to trust us because we're the gurus. You don't have to believe everything we say. You can verify everything for yourself, because we're going to show you where to verify everything for yourself.
Right. Relying on experts and lawyers, the government got us into this mess in the first place. And relying on a new host of experts is not going to make it any easier. Although it is good to have division of labor in some ways, and everyone doesn't need to know everything about everything. But you need to know enough about what you're getting yourself into to make responsible decisions, because you're ultimately responsible for your decisions. Now, so it's an interesting thing, because you're saying taking people into the out of the public into the private. Who determines? Well, again, but if you do anything in the public, there's these other people who claim jurisdiction over you and say that you're effectively under their jurisdiction. How do they get the authority to do that? Is it only through the ignorance of the masses?
Number one, yes. Mm-hmm. But number two, also because of all the contracts you've signed all your life.
Right.
Driver's license, birth certificate, application for business licenses, permits, voting, all of those things. Everything that you have to put a signature to is a contract. And if it comes from the state, their jurisdiction is baked into that contract, whether you know it or not.
Okay, I see. So one other thing you mentioned at the beginning was trusts. Can we do a couple of minutes on that, the relevance and importance of that? And anything else you want before we wrap up the show for today?
Yeah, very good point. So we've also noticed that just having an unincorporated association or a PMA by itself usually is not strong enough. It doesn't give you enough protection. So the way we do it is we actually give you three entities in one, so to speak. So we give you the church ministry because
Nice.
your temple, you are the temple. Every scripture says that man's body is his temple. So you don't need a building. You are the temple. So you get a church ministry. That then, the church ministry then opens a trust, okay, to do its to work on its behalf. That trust then opens the PMA. Okay, so you have 3 degrees, 3 layers of separation.
Amazing.
All right. And it's not just one vector of attack. So the specific trust, I mean, there's so many trusts, but the one that we teach is called a common law foreign express trust. And you know, I'll just dive really quickly into each of these. So common law obviously is common law, okay? God's law, the way things have been done for a long time. Then foreign means that this trust is foreign to whichever country you're in. So as the trustee of that trust, the trustee has the power to determine the headquarters of the trust, so to speak. So you can set it wherever you want outside of the current country you're in. Then express simply means that you are having to reanimate this trust every 25 years. The trustees have to give it life. They have to convene and have to say, okay, yes, we're going to give this trust 25 more years of life. If the trustees don't convene, then the trust collapses and it dies. Why do we do that? Because that takes the trust out of commerce. In commerce, when you incorporate a corporation, it lives even if there's no people animating it, right? Until you close it down. So it's fiction. It's a fictional entity. When you have a trust that re is relying on the trustees giving it life, now it's sort of like, you know, half alive because it needs biological natural beings to give it life. And that separates it from commerce. And then, yeah. And then that trust then creates the PMA. And then the PMA is basically where the funds come in, okay? But the trust is the only entity that interfaces with the public financial system and opens the bank account. Everything else stays in the private. So then when people come into your PMA, they donate to the church because that's what's on top. And the funds are simply being managed and handled by the trust. Okay? So that's how we set it up. And that's called the trifecta because you get these three setups in one.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, Diamant, thank you so much because you're building the new world while we stand in this massive ruinous footprint of the old one, and why wait for it to collapse before building the new one? Anything else you want to tell our revolutionary freedom warriors out there in Be Yourself and Love It
Sure.
land and Conscious Resistance land?
Yeah. Well, like I said, guys, there's always a remedy, okay? And you have to verify everything for yourself. If you can't verify it for yourself, don't trust it. We're in the, you know, era of information warfare. And unfortunately, a lot of people have infiltrated this very space, you know, the alternative law space on how to get lawfully free. So make sure you verify everything for yourself. If you can't, then don't trust it.
Okay, where do people find you?
A few people can find me on Sacred Honor EF. I also have, if I can quickly put up a slide.
Please do.
Okay, so this is a slide from my National Status and Passport Real Life Proof Workshop, which we didn't even talk about that, but this is where you can reach out to me. My Telegram channel is Solutions Only, please. You can find me on Substack, As a Man Awaketh. My
I
email
love
is
that.
learn. Thank you. Email is learn@freedomhubs.org. Learn.freedomhubs.org is my website where I teach all about the national status correction. And then Sacred Honor EF is where you can also reach me.
Okay, thank you so much, Dan, for joining me on Be Yourself and Love It podcast. And you at home, be yourself. But don't just be yourself and love it.